This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Just starting to believe a little bit. Well, Højlund's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh, Zamora! Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. Thanks for everyone listening. You may have actually seen during the week, we achieved over 10k downloads, which is fantastic. Just wanted to say a big thank you for everyone listening. Started off with a bit of a joke in a soft play that we were going to start doing a podcast and seeing if we can get some players in January this year in lockdown, or just before the second one. And and here we are now. We get around 1,000 listens an episode. So just wanted to say thank you again for everyone listening. We've got lots to get through today. So who have we got on today? So, Dunk, how are you, mate? You've been on everyone so far this year.
Hello. I'm like Mr. Consistency. He used to be like Mr. Johan Barbe, but he's dropped off the boil a bit. And so I don't know if that's a
still
good comparison.
Still playing every week, though, isn't he?
He still plays every week, but I like to think that my consistency level has not dropped like his has.
We'll let you know at the end. Nice new top there. You got on as well, mate.
I know. I was going to do a little plug for it, but I think the bloke's Twitter account's been suspended, so I'll have to find out a bit more information about that.
Probably giving away dodgy T-shirts, probably. Brad, you back in town, mate?
I'm back, boys. Good to be back. How is everyone? You all right?
I wish people could see this. We need to do something, don't we? Like, get it on YouTube so people can see your curly hair, mate. It's mad.
We're on Recast. People just need to get on to follow our channel on Recast.
Oh, man, if you can see, listen, because his hair is getting curlier every week. Oh, we won't talk about what your missus does every morning, will we? With your hair. And we've got Jack on. We've been trying to get him on for a while. I call you Jack Opta Jack. I don't even know if that's okay, but he's Statman on Twitter. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Excited to be on the podcast. Long-time listener. So, really enjoy what you guys do. And, delighted to sort of be a part of it. But OptiJack's fine, if you want to call me that. But
I'm just going to refer to you as that for the rest of the podcast. No, I won't really. Right, so we've got lots to get through. I'll tell you what I want to start with. Let's start as we mean to go on, because obviously you're on stats. And I asked you a specific stat to get for me. And I thought it'd be quite interesting to start with that. I know we'd go through Blackpool in a sec, but it was around points per game. So I was quite interested in the points per game for the year, the calendar year, mm-hmm. What that would mean if this was a whole season, and then where we are with this actual season, and then also what's the average points per game that you would get to get in the playoffs?
Yeah, it was a good question, really, because I've looked at it since they rebranded it, the Championship in 2004-05. I've had a look at all the seasons and what's the average points to finish in that sixth place? Because realistically, as Keogh fans, we'd love just to squeak in, wouldn't we? Take that at the start of the season.
Goal difference.
Yeah, it could come down to anything, couldn't it? But, the average points total to finish sixth in that period of time is 74 points. And right now, our season projection, we're tracking at about 70 points. So we're just under it slightly. And I looked at it in those 17 seasons, 70 points gets you sixth on only four occasions. So we do need, where we've dropped a few points in the last minute here and there, is that going to catch up with us, later on, further down the line, or are we just going to do what we did last season and just motor home, second half of the season? But looking at 2021 as a whole, we're the second best team in the championship of ever present teams. It's only Bournemouth above us, and we're averaging 1.8 points per game, which is nearly automatic promotion form. So if you look at it as a whole, that's very encouraging. But if you isolate this season, we're just floating around just below that playoff threshold.
Interesting, isn't it? Because one question I've got on that is, I know that we're below the projected points of a normal play of a normal season, but I'm looking at that championship this season. I'm thinking, how normal is it? Because everyone's just beating everyone. So would 70 points actually scrape you in, just like we're scraping in the playoffs now? If you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, we're sixth right now. The way it is right now, yeah. we would scrape in. And there's some surprise packages in there. Can they maintain it, Coventry? But they're basically on the points total we would have been if we hadn't dropped points against Blackburn for it, four more points in the bag. But yeah, I think, looking at our calendar year average, we would average at 82 points.
82. That's good, isn't it?
That would get you, the average for finishing second is 87 points in that same period. So we're a very strong playoff contender based on that, for the calendar year. But obviously we've got to look at this season as we're going. And, I'm sure you're going to talk about it later. What do we need to bolster it? Because you remember Warnock's promotion season, he was after players just to give us that bit more to get over the line. Do we have the budget this time around? I'm not sure, but, we'll have to see what we need. Players missing, international duty, any injuries. Be quite interesting to see how they play January.
Very interesting. Any views on that, Dunk? You're a stat man?
Well, to be fair, I get most of my stats from Jack anyway, so I'll just throw that out there.
Very honest.
It is interesting to see that, compared to the back end of last season, performances haven't been anywhere near as good. But the fact that we're still up in that sixth spot, maybe it does mean this year it could be one of those freak years where maybe getting 70 points might be enough to get in the playoffs. Because you said, there's a lot of teams, especially drop points to other teams. There's teams that are having the points deductions. Look at Reading, theirs is going to be happening anytime soon. They're going to drop straight down the league. So, and I'm sure there's a few other clubs that are in a similar situation to that. So I think the league's going to be all over the place this year.
Just shows, doesn't it, this season that, it's anyone's really. I think Fulham look very good, but I think with QPR, we're one of those teams, aren't we? We can sit here and talk 70 points, but every week's just different with us. We've dropped points at Forest, Forest 1-0, last minute goal. It's just, anything could happen with us, isn't it? We haven't really looked this season very consistent for me. And I think we need to hit that run. But saying that, in the last five games, drawn 2, 1-2 and lost 1 in the Championship? Take Sunderland out of that. But yeah, so I don't think it's that bad. But it's just a consistency for us. I just think, like we say every week, Wolves just needs to find that 11. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's quickly reflect on Blackpool then, because I think that will lead on to all of the things that we probably want to talk about and answer some of the questions that Jack posed a second ago. Funny story, we went to a kid's birthday party at 5:30 and we recorded it and we told everyone in the party, do not tell us the result. We put left our phones at home. We came back at 7:00 to my house to watch it, and my Sky had recording was full, so it recorded 14 minutes of them talking about the game, not even 1 minute of football, and then we had to go live and it was the last 5 minutes, and everyone was angry at me, but anyway, we have watched the 90 minutes. But Jack, what was your view of Blackpool? Frustrating, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I managed to watch it on the telly. It looked absolutely miserable weather-wise up there. It was not a game for the purists, in terms of the football that was being played. I mean, both teams only had one shot on target each and got a goal out of that. Obviously, we were very lucky with that disallowed goal. I don't know if you got to see that in the end, but that maybe that's evened out a bit with the Sunderland Sunderland goal. I don't know which one I'd prefer overall. Would you rather the quarterfinal or, you know, or against Blackpool? It's, you know, anyone, you could debate that. But yeah, it's just, we've thrown away 12 points from winning positions now, which is the second most in the division behind only Derby. So it's that situation of leaving points on the board. You know, it nags at you. But on the flip side, 4 points from that week on the road, really tough schedule. We're historically really pretty bad away from home in November, which is a really weird niche thing to look at anyway. But, you know, it's one of those where on reflection, a couple of days removed, I think we did well to dig in, you know, tough conditions. I mean, it's that defensive error, lapse in judgment that's played us this season a little bit, I think, those little mistakes. You know, I just think they looked a little bit leggy at times. They weren't creating too much. And I think the international breaks maybe come at a really good time just to get some players back as well.
Yeah, agreed.
I couldn't agree more with you there, mate. Also, about, just want to touch on Willock's goal. What a goal. What a goal. Willock. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think he needed that as well, didn't he? Because his form has dipped ever so slightly. So I think scoring that kind of goal is good for his confidence. But then straight into an international break, he would have liked to have another game for that form to kind of carry on. And almost, I'm one of those where it was a bad performance, I felt, against Blackpool. I thought we were pretty shocking. And I feel it's almost like having the international break can either go two ways, can't it? Getting them all back together can regel, rejuvenise and get this team playing again. Or it would have been better to go straight back into another set of fixtures and try and get away from these bad run of results, like bad form. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a dig in performance, wasn't it? Because it's not an easy place to go to Blackpool. They've got a really good home record and they're surprisingly loud, aren't they? Like, they have, you know, it was quite a good atmosphere and it felt quite, you know, the rain, it, like Jack said, the weather wasn't great and we couldn't really play football on it and yeah, the wind as well was really bad. So, yeah, I mean, we got a bit lucky with the goal, but sometimes you've got to do that. You've got to dig in. So, you know, previous years we'd lost that game in another year. Or, you know, I just think that sometimes you have to grind out the results, the performance. I think that the performance of Blackpool seems slightly worse because we're also not playing well really anywhere leading up to it. So it kind of adds to the fact that we're picking up points, but we're not playing well in a lot of fixtures. But I actually, for Blackpool specifically, I thought it was a good point. I thought we were under the cosh for a bit. I mean, I don't think Blackpool did much else. They didn't have many, like Jack said, apart from the goal, which, you know, they didn't really do much else. And we actually could have won it at the end with that chance with Dykes and Austin. If he'd left it, you'd have fancied Austin to put that away.
I think it's 4 points. One-on-one, didn't he?
Yeah.
That one was, you know, go across the keeper, maybe that's going to, you know, go in.
So 4 points from that's good. And actually, if you look at the bigger picture, which is we've got five home games out of seven coming up. So that, to me, seems like a really massive opportunity after the international break. Get a couple of, I'd imagine Lee Wallace will be playing. Field will be in the squad. Johansson will be back. You know, Dieng hasn't gone away on international duty. Dyke has only been to play one game because he's suspended tonight. Yeah, finishes on a Tuesday, so it's not a Wednesday. I just feel like we could just have a real good go now with the next. We notoriously don't do very well at Christmas, Jack. I don't know if you've got any stats on that. I didn't ask you or anything, but I just from history, I know that Christmas time, we never particularly do well.
Well, last Christmas especially, weren't we? We were awful.
Yeah, I mean, last I always...
Yeah, Swansea and Norwich.
I'm always disappointed on a Boxing Day. I always know that anyway.
Well, our Boxing Day record. Give me 1 second.
We're not playing Boxing Day this year, so that's all right.
We haven't won Boxing Days for six games. We haven't won on Boxing Day. Yeah. The last win was... No, I've absolutely botched that one. Excuse me. Sorry.
It's on the spot, though, isn't it, mate? You're all right.
No, give me one. But yeah, I was just going to say, I just think we've got a run of games now where there's a nice little cushion between each game. So, there's gaps of, 5 days, 6 days, and you say we've got a run of fixtures at home, less travelling. I think that kind of, it could play into our hands quite nicely, coupled with the players coming back. So, I've got the Boxing Day stat up now. We've won one of our last 8 games played specifically on Boxing Day. I know we're not playing this year on Boxing Day. They moved it, didn't they?
Yeah. But, let's not talk about that. Still a bit sour.
No, you're right, though. December's a bit ropey for us.
What do we think of the old Sky Hoodoo? Do we think it's... I think our stats are just awful. I know they are, Jack, again. Like, we just never win on Sky. If we do, it's quite rare.
Well, I think, you know, the Hoops and Dreams, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, he's very good. And yeah. He pointed out our record this season on the main channel. I think it's 6 games. We've drawn 3 and lost 3. We haven't won yet. And a couple of those were the Friday night games. So the hoodoo is real. If you combine it with our record on Fridays, where we've only won 2 of our last 24 games on a Friday, it just seems to all sort of work against us, doesn't it? But on the flip side, we're getting decent money, isn't it? I don't know if Ruben mentioned that in his media interviews this week. We're kind of getting, you know, a fair bit of cash from it, which does that sort of balance out the frustration, all the fixture changes for us this year. It's still frustrating when they move it by such short notice for the away fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that Sky are picking us so much. I just find it really odd. I don't get it, because we're not like flying. We're not playing particularly. Like, it just feels odd that I think I saw 10 times up until, you know, I think it's the start of December, the latest round, which is really odd, isn't it? 10 times in a you wouldn't even get that in a season normally.
Surely they're aware of the hoodoo and they just don't like us and they don't want us to get promoted this year. So they're putting us on Sky more and know that we don't perform well.
I always think the opposite. I always think they know. They know more than they know. And they know that eventually we're going to win. And I don't know.
Do you not think we go out for that? No. We don't go looking for that, the Skies, because it does give us money. So you do not think when they say, you know, Sky next week, as a club, we go, yeah, do you know what? We'll take that. We'll take next week. That's money, isn't it?
I don't know how it works. I don't know if they ask us if we want to be on it or they say we're moving your game to whatever night to be on Sky. I don't know how much say the club has.
It's so weird because I saw Luton fans on Twitter really not happy because they've only been selected once. Actually, no, up until now, it's none. And it's, I think it's once in December, like, and they're like, why are teams getting picked 10 times? Because obviously money as well and stuff like, yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah, the game against us is the first time. So it's just a bit odd. I don't really understand it. But yeah, coming back to QPR. So yeah, what's everyone's view? A good topic of conversation is Dieng. Obviously he got sent off. I don't actually think it was his fault. I thought Barbe, you know, sent him down the river really. And he's lucky he should have got sent off by the rules as well, actually. So we're quite lucky in that respect. But Brad, what's your view on Dieng? I know you've got a couple of views on him.
Well, he's just not he's not the player that we've seen last season, is he? I mean, I don't know whether it's a lack of confidence with the defence. I don't know whether it's something to do with that. I noticed his kicking isn't the best, but it got a bit better. Blackpool, but he just doesn't look himself to me. Watching him week in, week out, he just doesn't feel it. But he still pulls out these, you know, these shot-stopping saves. So you can't really diss him that much. I just don't think he loves you, Jar.
Well, I think Kevin Gallen made quite a good point on a podcast on that West London Sport one, whereas last year, Dieng was pulling off, like, worldy saves numerous times a game. Really like preventing a lot of goals, you know, statistically. This year, he's sort of, I wouldn't say he's gone down to anywhere near Lumley's like bad levels, nothing like that, because I still think he's a much better keeper than Lumley. But
yeah,
he's definitely, you know, as Brad mentioned, he's making this, still making those really good saves, but it's just not at the same regularity. And could, you know, he's not getting a lot of protection at times. You know, the back three changes quite often, the full backs are changing, you know, it's quite, you know, it's not a lot of consistency in front of him. The centre mids are changing almost game, you know, every single game. So I think he's had a lot to do, but, you know, from, you know, statistically, you know, I don't want to go too heavy on it, but on in terms of the goalkeeping stuff, but his save percentage has dropped. So that's kind of what you need to know, really. Like, it's dropped 70% to 63%. So he's not saving as many shots as he was, simply.
Do you think that's because he's getting more one-on-one?
I think he's been put in positions like Blackpool where he's having to make decisions, you know, where he doesn't really, you know, want to be in. And, you know, unfortunately that, you know, our goals conceded has dropped back to sort of the 2019-20 sort of standards where it's quite frequent, really. So, yeah, I think he's a great keeper. I think he's got Premier League written on him. I just think he just needs to sort, I don't know, sort himself out a little bit. I think going forward, I think he'll improve as the season goes on. He's just, as that West Brom mistake was really bad. And
I think he just needs to find that confidence of the back. Because like you said as well, Jack, it is getting left open quite a lot. And, you know, he has a lot to deal with. And I just think that our defence at the minute is not full of confidence. You know, there's the positioning is not all there. And I don't want to go too much in about the wing-backs, but that doesn't help at all. Our win-back situation. Don't know what you think, Dunk.
With Senny, the penalty, he's put in that position, isn't he? He has to make a split decision, like second decision. And for me, I don't know if it was their striker. It looked like he knocked it too far. It almost felt like he could have pulled out, not made the challenge. And I don't think he necessarily would have had a chance to score. But he's definitely not the same keeper he was last year, confidence-wise. But I think you look at our whole back five, or back six, including Senny, and I think they're all the same. I think Dickie's had a massive dip in confidence. And you think him and Senny last year were our two best players. Is that the problem? Their consistency level was just dropped from last year. They can't maintain it. But then, like Jack said, I'd much rather have him compared to like someone like Lumley or Liam Kelly. So it's just one of those. I think it's with hopefully when our defence shores up and the team selection is the same 11 more regular than not, then I think that will make a difference to the whole team.
So I do agree with every point that everyone's made, actually, that there's so many, you could look at it two ways. I think the main point is that I think last season he was just so good. Like, he literally was so good that if he maintained that level, he'd be gone in January. Like, someone would want him, like, because he was so good for that. Like, I'm surprised no one came in from some. They probably did, but, you know, we didn't know. So that any kind of dip that he's had, we've really noticed it. Whereas if he was at a level that he was good, all right, he was at this level, we'd think that he was still just, you know, an okay good keeper that he just, you know what I mean? So I think that's an issue. I think that, like Brad said, or everyone said, the back five is a problem. Wing backs, we don't centre back. We got centre backs out of form. I think he's having to kick more. I don't know why, but we're not playing at the back as much. We are doing. I don't know whether that's because Dunn's in there. I don't know. Or the wing back. I don't know. There's something, but he's definitely kicking more than he was last season. We were a lot playing up from the back, and now he's having to kick it. That'd be a good one for you to find, Jack. How many average kicks is he having per game? Don't know if you can do that, but
I'd have to look for the next time I come on here if I get.
Yeah. Have a look at
that. I'll work that one out.
But I'm out of it. He's kicking more.
There's definitely a lot to be said about the way the team is set up, and are we playing? And it doesn't seem as fluid as it, you know. And I think a lot of that might be down to the personnel changes. We have teams figure out a little bit more. They know where to squeeze us on the pitch. You know, the changing of the wing backs, it affects all that, the sort of how people, the players passing between themselves, the familiarity of it all. I mean, you asked me to look at some centre back partnerships and bits like that, and it was quite interesting, the findings. Like, our tried and tested has been Dickie, Device, Barbe, right?
Yeah,
we started 10 times with those three at the back, and we've only won three and kept two clean sheets. When we've started with Dickie, Dunn and Barbe, that's six times. Well, those three have started together. We've won four of six and kept a clean sheet in three. So I know Device has been out injured, but maybe that's the back three to maybe just, you know, go with game, see how that pans out. Maybe that will help the Yang as well.
Exactly. I was thinking before I come on the pod tonight, has Geordie and Dunn played together, the partnership? I don't think they have.
I think it was against West Brom, and where they played Barbe, didn't they? They played Barbe wing back, and I think they all played together. And we were winning that quite a long time, weren't we? Until the sort of, you know, the keeper mistake, and then one at the end. But yeah, they've not played very much together. It's kind of, they've been very interchangeable, haven't they? It's either Device or Dunn mostly.
It's strange,
isn't it? Because I wouldn't have said that Geordie's necessarily been poor, compared to the others, like centre back. So that's a strange one that. When he's in the team, it's not as good.
I think Dunn's done really well, though. So Geordie may not have been as bad as that stat says, but I still do think that stat actually promotes Dunn, as in he's done better than I think Jordy and sort of deserves the chance to kick on. And we always say it, the problem with Jordy is he just never stays fit. He can never stay fit. A whole fan said it. He's just, you know, you'll get a good game out of him where it feels like he'll just use every bit of energy or every bit of ounce of him that he's got. And then he's out for like 2 or 3 weeks. He can't do 2 games a week. So it really makes it difficult to have a centre-back like that, doesn't it? But what some games, he's just, you know, brilliant, isn't he?
Dominating.
So he's definitely, yeah, he can just have that game where nothing gets played with every header, no one, he's just like an animal. But yeah, that's frustrating. The biggest frustration for me in this team at the moment is the fullback situation. It winds me up every day, every week. You know, we've got right back, right we've got Adoma, who's not a right wing back in any way, shape or form, playing there, doing a good job. We've got left wing backs playing right wing back. We've got two right wing backs that don't seem to want to play right wing back in KK and Moses. And we've got two left backs that are injured. It's just a bit of a mess, isn't it?
I don't think Moses has played too bad. I wouldn't say he's awful. I think Moses has had a few good games. Like I said, every week when I come on, he's not consistent yet. He hasn't found his form, but I think he's coming. I definitely think it's coming. But same with Moses, there's a lot of mistakes there. I think there's a lot of mistakes. Just watching him, he can put mistakes. But I still don't think he's been playing that bad for us, do you?
No, I mean, I think like you're right with the consistency stuff there, Brad, because we said against Cardiff how good he was, especially that second half. Moses was amazing. He was unbelievable. But then against Blackpool, you just thought he's an accident waiting to happen. Like, it's the next game. Like, how can you go from having such a good second half against Cardiff to being subbed off, what, was it half-time against Blackpool because he was so bad? Like,
And then they get asked to do quite a lot, don't they, in those wing-back positions. Yeah. They're like the difference between us, like almost like when we're on it, our full-backs are bombing on and getting balls in, and when we're off it, they're kind of getting caught out of position, maybe because of what they're being asked to do going forward. But I agree. I think Odabadjo played really well against Cardiff. I think he's had really good games, and I think he's had really poor games. Sometimes he's looked quite good on the left, you know, filling in. I think Wallace is, you know, the undisputed left wing back choice, you know, for me. If he's fit, he has to play. I think we average more points per game when he starts compared to when he doesn't. You know, we're on the left, he links up with Chair and we look quite nicely, and Johansson, and they have nice little triangles, and they always create quite good stuff over there. We just don't seem to have that connection when he's not playing, I find.
Experience, isn't it, that comes with, I think, for Wallace. I'm one on the podcast, I said he was being a dark horse. And before he got injured, he was playing unbelievable.
He knows when to go, when to sit back. You know, to your point, we ask a lot of that position, and you need someone who knows when to go, when not to go. And actually, Wallace's biggest... his biggest positive is that when he's in the final phase, he knows what to, he seems to have a, you know, cool head, and he knows what to, you know, where to put it and stuff like that. You find sometimes that the other fullbacks are a bit hot-headed and they just like sort of thrash it across without any real thought, whereas you always find, you know, he always used to love that little cutback, didn't he, Lee Wallace? Like the little cutback when he was...
I know it was only against the under-23s, wasn't it? But like to get 60 minutes and an assist straight back in, it just shows you how... like vital he can be to us going forward as well as going like defensively. Like, yeah, I don't know, like, I tried to watch the minute I was out with the missus, and I was like walking on my phone trying to watch the under-23 game, but he looks like he did quite well, wasn't too stretched with anything, so fingers crossed another couple of weeks, like another week and a half training, he should be getting there or thereabouts to be back in the starting squad.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame about McCallum, because I think when he's played he's looked quite good, but again, he's got this sort of injury curse with him at the moment. And I think maybe he's had an issue that's needed surgery to fix it. I wouldn't know, but hopefully if we are keeping him for the rest of the season, he's back fit for the rest of the year and can, you know, deputise when Wallace obviously is going to have his breaks. But now I think having Odabadjo and Adoma on the right, it's not too bad. I mean, I would be, if there's anything going in the window that is better than what we've got and isn't breaking the bank, then you'd have to look at it, wouldn't you? But I think Kakai, for me, he's a useful player. He tries hard, but he feels like a slight, you know, being polite as I can, a bit of a downgrade when he's there compared to other fullbacks in our team, especially from an offensive point of view. I find him, he doesn't produce as much going forward, but, you know, defensively he's okay. But, I think right wing back is an issue, maybe. Mm. Long term, anyway, that is what I think. But overall, Odebadjo, I think, would be the one I would start for now, pound for pound overall.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more there.
I think KK was a bit of a... I think he was good last season because he was a bit of... You know, he came back and his performances were really light and poor. He came back and he just seemed like a different player, didn't he? And he could fit at centre-back as well. He had a really good few games, you know, on the right-hand side. So I think that versatility has also meant that he's a bit more important to the squad because he can fill in right centre-back. If Dickie was injured, that probably was the natural replacement. But he just doesn't feel like a top-end championship player, which we are now, really, aren't we? We're up there and we need... I feel like he's a bit out of his depth a little bit, but... And he could be a good squad player. I'm not, you know, it's a bit harsh on him, I guess. But
yeah, I think he's a good option. He's academy. It's really nice to see an academy player come through and actually become a proper first team player. And as you say, his versatility is brilliant. He can play numerous positions across the back line, and you'd definitely keep him in the squad for sure. It's just what's can he improve? I'm sure he can under Wolverton because he's improved many players in our squad. So I think maybe there's more to come.
Yeah, let's hope so.
What do we... centre midfield. This is another conundrum, I think, Warburton, when assessing him, that that a valid point is that he hasn't... We've got so many options, and actually the centre midfield should be our strongest position, really, if you look at it. There's five or six options we've got, but at the moment it doesn't feel like that's the case. It feels like we don't really know who our options are. Best two, if you know what I mean. What's your thoughts on that, Doug?
I saw a little stat. I don't know if it was one of Jack's or one of the Hoops and Dreams ones, but it's when Andre Dizel starts. We've only lost one game that he's played in, and that was with the game he came on against West Brom. So I feel like he's one of those kind of players where I didn't necessarily think... At the start, I thought he's got potential, but he seems to almost be a key component in a
way. I love Dizel. I think he's quality. I think he's raw. So I think he's a bit inexperienced and he does some things sometimes. But I think if he keeps it simple and just does the simple thing and just, you know, uses his vision, and because he's a big lad as well, isn't he? He's not, if he can just get himself about a bit, I think he'd be great.
Obviously his assist against Cardiff was sublime. Let's like, it was what a ball that was. He just seems to do things that, like, Don Ball does, but better. Do you know what I mean? Like, he plays a simple pass with Don Ball. Sometimes with Don Ball, I just think he's a bit like a deer in headlights. He gets the ball and kind of just bundles through someone or plays like a simple pass. Sorry, Brad, I know you love Don Ball.
I was just about to say, you leave me alone.
But I think he gives us more. And I think him and Steph are starting to form a partnership almost that Steph had with Sam Field. So it's going to be an interesting conundrum when Sam Field's obviously back fully with the squad. Because for me, he was a key component to our success back end of last season as well.
Yeah. Think about what we're talking about here, midfielders, right? If all our midfield was fit, right, who would the two you'll be picking? Because obviously we've got Amos, Field, Johansson, Ball, Dizel. You've got a lot of players there. You know, if you was Gaffer, who would you be putting in those two positions fully fit?
I think for me, Johansson. He seems like he's been carrying a little bit of an injury this season, but I'd still start Johansson just for all his attributes. But for me, Field, if Field's fit, Field's in there automatically for me. I think if he's hopefully the surgery's like really fixed his knee, it feels better than ever. Well, so that's really encouraging. We conceded fewer goals per game when he started, you know, so he does shore us up. He's very good in the air, keeps it simple without dwelling on the ball too much. And he formed quite a nice partnership with Johansson. So for me, I'd like to see that one. But, you know, based on this season, I think Ball and Johansson was sort of the go-to. I mean, Ball offers you a lot of energy. He gets in people's faces. He harries you, which is really important for championship teams. But he doesn't have that pass that Dizel has, does he? And as you saw against Cardiff, I mean, that ball was ridiculous. So, yeah, I think Field and Johansson for me. What about you guys?
I agree. Field, I mean, I need to see him because he's been out for a while, hasn't he? He needs to have a run out and I need to see him, I guess. But based on last season, Johansson's been better when he's further forward. I'm adamant now that you play Johansson, you play him as that. You don't play him as a CDM. you push him further up because he's much better up there than he is, you know, further back. So with that in mind, you need someone who's going to sit further back. So I don't think Amos can. I think Amos and Johansson are kind of similar in that respect. And I like Dizel. I think Dizel. This could be the demise of Don Ball. Sorry, Brad, but if you think of the options and what we've got available, and you'd probably put him. I don't know. I probably would put him sort of fifth or sixth in the list. Personally, I agree totally with the energy, and I just always think that, again, it's kind of the same with Kaká. We're now at the top end of the, is he a top end of the championship player? I don't know that. I'm not too sure.
I'd like a formation change. I'd like to see Dizel, Field, and Johansson as a midfield three. I think Field sitting in front of a back four offers that protection. Dizel and Steph can then pop ping balls about, play balls about. And I think that would be, potentially would give us... So I think the back five isn't working for me this year. I think it's getting found out. I think too many teams are doing it and teams are working out how to play against it, especially with us when we don't have any pace in it.
So well, I'd like to see think the back five, like we said this whole podcast, the back five, to play a back five, you need good wing-backs. You need consistent wing-backs. It's such a big area to cover. We can't be playing a back five with, you know, the wing-backs we have, unfortunately. But, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Field when he's back. But I feel a bit harsh on Amos, really, because I think Amos has got more to bring up. See, when he come back, he looked okay. He looked, you know, a bit more pacier, and I think Amos has got more to offer. But I think you're right about Ball. I love Ball, and as much as I talk about Ball, love the song. But I think it's maybe his time. Yeah, there's too many options. And for me, Warburton has got a pick. He's got a pick. He can't keep changing it up week in, week out. You just can't do that. We need to get that 11 set in stone. And I know injuries and fitness will dab at that, but we need to find it at some point if we want to be a top-end championship team. I don't know what you think.
So, I've got a good centre midfield question for you all. I asked you it all before, so hopefully you've had a little think about it. So, you've got your five centre midfielders. So, I'm going to give you five centre midfielders. I saw this on a podcast a little while ago, and I thought it was quite interesting. And you have got a one-off game, okay? One-off game. No dressing room, nothing. You know, you turn up on a Sunday morning, go home after kind of vibe. And you have to pick two centre midfielders, okay? And to win the game. So it's £10,000 game. If you win it, you get £10,000, all right? So which of these five would you pick? So we've got Sean Derry. So I'm all about prime Rangers as well, in their prime Rangers. Like, not, you know, I know Sean Derry's like 50 now, so don't pick him. You've got Derry, Fowling, Johansson, Akos Buzaki, or Joey Barton. So you need to pick two, bench one, and drop two.
Right. My issue is, who are our attacking players and defensive players?
Oh, come on. Really?
Well, I need to know what were certain players offer different things, don't they?
Well, think about what formation you would probably play. Don't worry about the players.
I'd play a 4-2-3-1. 4-2-3-1.
Right, okay. Well, in that 4-2-3-1, which two would you pick? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, I know mine, so do you want me to go first? So, yeah. I've pure and simple, this combination got us promoted as champions. So I've gone for Farland and Derry. Literally, what more could you want in the two midfielders? Derry is a terrier. He will chase around, we'll take that back four. And Farland, he's an absolute baller. Wand of the left foot, can pick any pass you want, unlock a defence. Happy days, that's it. Game's won.
Well, it's not going to make for an interesting answer from me, but I've picked the same players. I had Derry and Farland only because, you know, I don't think we've had a Derry type of player since Derry's left, you know, in that middle, like someone that was, you know, pretty competent on the ball, quite an underrated footballer, but just read the game so well. He just felt like you had a brick wall in front of the back four at times in that season. And I think he had such a good connection with Farland. Oh, you know, and what a wonderful player he was. Even post-injuries, he could still ping it about a bit. But if he hadn't had those injuries, who knows where he would have ended up, you know, in terms of Premier League. But, and if I had a bench player, I'd have Buzaki just because he was one of my favourites of that era. What, just a joy
to watch.
joy to watch. I wouldn't touch Barton.
I mean,
no, I agree, Jack. Derrian, completely wouldn't touch Barton.
Nope.
I mean, Derrian Fallon is looking like our, you know, strongest. Johansson, he's got to be in there somewhere, isn't he? Well, a fit Johansson.
We haven't seen enough, have we? Like, he's only been here for, what, 8 months?
When he first came, how good was his passing? I'm probably just going to change it up a bit. I'll go Fallon and Johansson with Derry on the bench.
Two left footers, very nice.
So mine would be the same as Brad's, actually. I'd Fowler and Johansson. Because Ali can put it about, couldn't he? He can pick a ball. You've got two centre fielders that on the ball would be just ridiculous. You just wouldn't get it off them, really. If they were both on form, I'm talking about, like, and both at it, and both, like, in, I just feel like they could both put a tackle in as well. Yeah, like,
both,
I don't know.
Both sides of the game, can't they?
Yeah, I know they're both two left footers, so that would be, but whatever. I'll just get them in training, I'll get them doing right.
If you have to pick one of them, if you had to pick one of those two, who would you pick out of those two? Farlin and Johansson?
Farlin for me all day long. He's brilliant, wasn't he?
I think, Ali, we asked Charlie Austin that question, didn't we? I don't even remember on the pod a little while ago, and he picked. It took some getting out of him, didn't it? But I think he picked Ali as well, didn't he?
I think, are we a bit harsh there on Barton?
No.
Are we a bit?
Well,
no one's giving him the time of day there at all. No one's even spoke about him.
I mean, he could play. Don't get me wrong. You know, he can, and he did. He can do both sides of the thing. You know, pass it and tackle and score goals and assist. But I just don't think his prime QPR days were better than the other guys you've mentioned. But then he got promotion as well. So
yeah, I disagree with Barton. I've got, as a footballer, not as a guy, I think he's as good as anyone on that list as a footballer.
Yeah, but to win a one-off game, would you trust Joey Barton?
There, surely.
Would you trust him in the game?
No, because if you get sent off, there's $10,000 down the bin.
Exactly. He's that kind
of
player.
He wouldn't care either.
No,
walk off smiling.
Player that literally, you could be throughout Mourinho interview with Balotelli. He's like, "I've got no strikers. You're on a yellow card. No tackles." You could say that same thing to Barton. Don't dive in. No tackles, and he'd go fuck off. In the next 2 seconds, would take someone out.
Boring. But interesting. And I know Jack did say Buzacchi, but he was class as well. Second Buzacchi.
What a player!
What a player!
Play 10, could play 8, couldn't he? Could do
wide. The goals he scored.
One game, $10,000.
Buzacchi did it in the Premier League. I mean, I know Ali did as well. I mean, they all did, I guess. They all have, haven't they? But you forget that Akos scored a few Premier League goals as well. So
yeah, that Swansea one. Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah.
Yelly, yeah, he scored a lovely goal. No, you're right, completely agree. He did it in the Prem as well, even with his knee injuries as well.
Tough.
Buzacchi's on my bench. I've been in the defensive midfielders in mind. Joey Barton, I'm not. Yeah, and Derry.
I like Derry. Buzacchi's on my bench.
I can't believe you've been in Derry. Keep your legend.
I wouldn't
turn him in the bin.
Yeah, if you're listening, Sean, you know, yeah, you I'm sorry, mate. Let's move on to Wolves then. I've been reading some really interesting points, listening to some QPR fans, and it'd be interesting to know what your views are of how well he's done this season so far as a whole. Because I mean, top line, sixth, within a dodgy goal of a quarter final. You know, it seems like, why are we even questioning this, really, if you look at it like that? But there still seems to be something in there. I don't know what. Jack, what's your views, mate?
I would say, if you're judging him on this season, I think it's still an 8. Overall, I'd give him an 8 out of 10. And I'll explain reasons for that in a minute. But I think this season, compared to last season at the same stage, we've got 8 points more. We've got 10 goals scored more. Obviously, I know the dodgy first half of the season and the different squad. So, you know, that we had different players, personnel. But I think, generally, like, he is improving us year on year. I think you are seeing improvements. Defences we've touched upon has regressed a little bit this year. And there's numerous factors for that. But I think, you know, I think he's doing a really good job. Remember, you know, it cannot have been easy managing QPR or any football club during COVID and all the problems and all the situations that arise with that. And I just think when you touched on it. I mean, you mentioned the performances recently don't look as good, but we're still picking up points. We're still in the playoff position. So I think he's doing a really good job overall. Are we supposed to grade it? Are we giving it a score?
Mate, 8 out of 10, if that's what you want to give it, mate, that's good, yeah.
I think 8 out of 10 generally. I think the away record for me stands out as a good little something I spotted about him historically. Of, you know, managers to manage more than 10 away games, away league games for QPR. He's got the second best points per game average of any QPR manager in history. It's only Warnock who's got a better record on the road in league games than Auburn. And that's one of the biggest pluses for me. We're a decent outfit on the road, but we weren't for years. Yeah, you know, we couldn't buy a win, but he's made us competitive. And actually, sometimes the way we play, it lends itself to getting points away from home sometimes. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with Auburn this year as well. I just think we can tighten up and maybe just make, if it can click a little bit better, you know, with the passing and, you know, our just overall performances, then I think we could be a good season coming the end of the season. But yeah, sorry for the long answer.
Right. Spot on, mate.
But I agree with you there, to be honest, Jack. I agree with you with 8 out of 10 for Wolves. I think reading sometimes people's Twitter when we lose and things like that, I think people are a bit harsh towards him. I think the board definitely back him. They see, you know, a lot of potential in him. I'm sure in January, if he says he wants one or two, I'm sure he might get it, depending on players we go out. Look, I mean, I said it before, last five games, we've drawn 2-1-2, lost one. And, you know, we've dropped a few points and things like that. But I just think he's got more to offer. And I just think he just needs to find this 11. I keep saying it. I know people say, look, you keep going on about that. But once we find that 11, we find our feet, like you say, the away record, he's good. You know, we've got Luton Huddersfield coming out. I just think Wolves is fine. I don't even think why it's a question at all. But, you know, who's out there that's going to come in who's better than Wolves anyway? I don't think there's anyone out there. There's no other, you know what I mean? For me, I think he's been brilliant. Ben?
Go on, Doug.
Ben, I was going to say, I've not been quite as generous. I've given him a 7 out of 10. And it's purely down to the fact that we're in the bottom 4-5 for goals conceded. Like, I think even Derby haven't conceded as many as we have this season. And I think, for me, that's a slight concern because, like, if we're letting in that many goals, we're not going to be able to grind out those, like, gritty 1-0 wins to get in the playoffs. And that's what I'm slightly concerned about. But in regards to, say, season expectations, in August, we wanted playoffs and we're in playoffs, so we can't be grumbling too much.
Definitely sixth going into Christmas if we can keep that. I mean, you any football fan at the start of the season, you say you're sixth for playoffs at Christmas, you'll be buzzing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of football until Christmas, so Brad. I'm really on the fence actually with both points. I'm sort of, I don't know, 7.5 if I can go there. Not, I agree with all your good points about him, and I don't want to go over them again. I agree with Dunk as well. We're conceding too many goals, and we've had a lot of injuries, haven't we, this season? He can't get a settled team. I mean, can you blame him for the injuries? Probably not. Key players going on international duty. I don't think it's helped either. I think that's what's maybe affected Seni and Chair at times. Feels sometimes he looks a bit tired, doesn't he? He looks a bit leggy sometimes. But I just think the only little cloud over Warburton that's just always, I always hear, because his in-game management sometimes is just not always there. He sometimes doesn't make the right decisions and sometimes we've lost points from it. Peterborough was a perfect example. I was there, you know, the games needed to be shut out and we had like 10 players running forward. And I know that's the way he plays. I get it. But that could cost us at the end of the season if we're not careful. We're just managing games. He changed it at Cardiff. I don't know if you noticed. We sat back a bit more. He brought on a defensive player and we got the result. I just think sometimes he could do with doing that, but he could have done that before. So I just wanted to see subs sometimes... aren't always great. I mean, it's not an easy decision, is it?
But there's games there that he does make the right decision. So it's, you know, it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? There is errors that's going to be made sometimes. It's just life. But I think, I just think Wolves is... Do you think if Wolves was to go at some point, it would be Usic coming in?
Depends where we are, Brad.
I think that's already...
I think if we are like, if he goes and it's... and it's towards the end of the season, though, it's not looking like we're getting the playoffs, and yeah, I think he would be in. If it was a January, February job, you know, so it won't happen, but say we went on a mad run and we didn't win for the next 10 games and he went, I still think they'll bring someone experienced in, knowing that we've still got the opportunity to go up. There's enough games. Does that make sense? That's what I think.
Yeah. But I don't think he's
No, I don't either.
I think, as you said, there's a lot of games between now and the end of this like calendar year. And I think we'll have a much better sort of portrayal of the real QPR this season. I think the fact that we're picking up points despite performances not being as good as points last season is a great sign. You know, it's better than it's been in previous years. But
exactly, yeah.
So I'm you know, very much in the Warburton, you know, leave him in the job as long as he's doing it, you know, doing what he's doing. But I do agree, defence is a concern. Like, but we've had so many injuries as well compared to last year. We barely had any. It was you know, we did really well, but for whatever reason, we've been a bit unlucky. Scheduling's not been the kindest for us this year. So, you know, I think let's kind of judge where we are at the end of this calendar year. But I think for now, it's hard to fault too much about it. But I do agree with your criticisms.
Do you think there'd be a big question mark on his head, though, if we're not in playoffs at Christmas, if we're just below it? Do you think expectations are playoffs?
The league is so tight, and this is kind of back to Jack's point, is that we could be looking at some, we could be like 15th, probably not that low, 12th maybe, but still only 4 or 5 points off the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's where the line is. We could be sat here and, you know, mid-table, not looking great, but a couple of wins and you're right back up there again, aren't you? It's a bit like that.
I certainly wouldn't panic, because, I mean, look at the run we went on second half of the season compared to where we were at Christmas, and like how we weren't that far off the playoffs in the end. But so if we're in touching distance, you know, as you mentioned, like sort of 4 or 5 points off it, wouldn't panic. I just, you know, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. What was it last season? I think, what was it? The second end of the season, we'd have finished second, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I think it was only like Norwich or someone like that.
Above
Norwich,
yeah.
Had like more points than us in the second half of the year. And obviously they got automatic promotion. So, yeah.
It goes back to your point, Dunk, about as a back five, we're on 80 points. If you look at it from we changed in the early January, didn't we? And I know that it's still two separate seasons, but still, you can see why Warburton sticks with that formation, because it's still producing results, although at times it doesn't produce the performances.
Yeah, massively. Just going back to your comment, Ben, about the players, a few players been on international duty. Obviously, when we spoke to Ilias the other week, he said that he's not even really training with the team because of being away on international duty. There's games in and out, there's days, like rest days, like after matches and stuff. So that must be affecting more than just him in the squad. So that's got to be playing a key part in the fact that why maybe we're not looking as such a fluid unit at the minute, because maybe players aren't learning each other's patterns, aren't learning how each other plays. So hopefully we can get that going, hopefully, after this international break. I don't think there's one again until February, March.
March.
So hopefully that'll give us a bit of time for all the players to stay in and around the squad, get some training sessions as a unit, and then crack on, hopefully.
I guess it's the same for everyone, though, isn't it? Every team. But, you know, our scheduling seems to have been rather tight with the, you know, in between games. All right, then. Well, let's Jack, just quickly, I just want a quick, where do you get all your stats from? Like, where's it come from? Like, what have you, do you just watch all the games and have you got a little spreadsheet?
Well, I do have some spreadsheets. I mean, over the years, like, I've been working at Opta pushing 9 years now. So over time, you start to like get ideas. Oh, I could start collating that data about QPR. But a lot of, you know, my influence, you know, there's that QPR book that Gordon Macey did, all the history of QPR, yeah. And he's got all his stats and stuff. It really captured my imagination. And, you know, I think without that book, I wouldn't have gone down the route with like, all the QPR stats. So I definitely want to sort of say a little tribute to Gordon's work. It was phenomenal. And the stuff that Chris Guy does on the you know, there's the new historian as well, and his retro QPR is brilliant. But no, I've got, you know, during lockdowns and stuff, I set myself, like anyone, like sort of projects to pass the time. And I went through various, like, you know, I mean, for every game and sort of logging who was playing. And it's really, really nerdy. But I just managed to just collate basically QPR's history game by game. You know, who played, who scored, who started, how old they were, all sorts of stuff. And it's stuff I've picked up from working at Opta, like things that would make an interesting stat. So it's kind of an amalgamation of like learning to figure out the best sort of stat angles, you know, or facts that prop up that the most interesting or relatable, and like collating my own information as well. Obviously, you've got access to the database, so sort of some of the more analytical stuff, you know, like, you know, chances created, assists, possession, that stuff, you know, I can view that on the database, which I think there's various websites online that also project similar information as well. But no, it's just been a sort of a little hobby project, really, that's kind of manifested into a bit of an obsession.
Nice, mate. We'll keep going, mate. We love the stats.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So what do we reckon then? Luton, Friday night, we're going. Are we, Brad?
Yes, mate. We've got to get 3 points, haven't we? There's no ifs or buts or maybes about it. I mean, I think I will win 2-0. But Luton have not been playing bad recently, have they?
No. They're like Blackpool, aren't they? They've got like a Millwall type team that just well organised, well structured. So yeah, it's not going to be an easy game.
I mean, we've got quite a good record against Luton, to be fair, though, which, like, hopefully it's not going to be the time that changes. And I think depending on, obviously, how the international break goes, as long as all our players come, like, fit and we've got a pretty strong squad to pick from, I think it should be a game that we need to be winning. I think it's one of those where we just set down a mark and now we've got this run of games coming up where we need to start it well and try and get as many points before Christmas as possible, in theory. So I reckon it's going to be 2-1 to us.
I mean, historically speaking, I mean, we are unbeaten at home against Luton since 1984. So we haven't 17 home games and we haven't lost. So not that means much for the current team, but we have a good record historically against Luton, which, you know, some people think, oh, that's guaranteed defeat. If you know, QPR persuasion, you always think those stats mean, oh, God, you know.
Yeah. What that's telling me, Jack, is whack my house.
Please don't. I don't want to be responsible for that one. But, you know, in terms of tactically speaking, Luton, one of the best pressing teams in the Championship. They get after you and they do not allow you to have many passes on the ball before they make some sort of defensive action. So they rank as one of the best teams in the Championship for that. And actually, they've scored 5 goals, I think, from winning the ball back high up pitch off the opposition, which, as we know, can be our Achilles heel if we dally or make mistakes on the ball passing it around. So I'm hoping it's not one of like a Barnsley, you know, where they kind of really squeeze the pitch and everything. But I think if we've got a fully fit squad, you know, Wallace, Phil, people like that coming back, you know, Austin rested, I think we've got enough to beat them. We can control the game. Well, if we get our passing going, I think we'll win. We just got to be a bit careful, I think, which I'm sure they're aware of.
Yeah.
You know, I think 2-0. I mean, clean sheet and win.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm going to go for a win, which I don't often do. I'm very pessimistic and I don't.
Wow.
I'm going to go 1-0. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a penalty, which I don't think we've had for, I don't even remember the last penalty we've had, Jack. So
if you last can one for that pre-season, one day, wasn't right? It? No, was it Bright scored against Norwich last year?
Yes, he did, yeah. So I don't think we've had one in 2021, which is mad because we're in November.
Dykes missed any? I can't off the top of my head, but I know the last one we scored was Norwich.
We had the one in the, was it the Cambridge pre-season game, wasn't it? Yeah. I think that was the only one we've had.
I mean, we had practice in the shootouts this year.
Yeah. All right, lads. Well, look, let's leave it then. I'll let you all crack on with your evening. Thanks for Jack. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Pleasure. Thanks, you guys. Really appreciate the invite. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Just starting to believe a little bit. Well, Hoylett's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh, Zamora! Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.